Reach the Horizon, the official podcast of the Horizon League, as the season has finally got to the point where we've all been waiting for. The NCAA tournament, the postseason, the greatest postseason tournament in all of sports, is officially here. And we know who is representing the men and the women side on the for the Horizon League, of course, when it comes to college basketball. The Oakland Golden Grizzlies winning the Horizon League regular season and tournament, of course. Head coach Greg Campy's side, of course, going back to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2011. And, of course, we'll talk about the Green Bay Phoenix coming up here in just a little bit regarding the women's side. But joining us now, Reach the Horizon, the official podcast of the Horizon League, the longtime head coach of the Oakland Golden Grizzlies, Mr. Greg Campy. Coach Campy, I appreciate your time this morning. Welcome.
Oh, thanks for having Oakland on. It's an exciting time around here, and we're really happy and can't wait to play on primetime TV Thursday night against Kentucky. So it's a good time around here.
Absolutely. The Grizzlies, the Oakland Golden Grizzlies and the Kentucky Wildcats in the 14 versus the 3. That's going to be coming up on Thursday night. We're really excited about that. That's going to be on CBS. 7:10 is the planned tip-off time for that. But let's just kind of rewind back to the beginning of the season. I know preseason polls mean nothing, so I'm going to throw that out the window. I don't care about preseason polls. I want to talk about your expectations for this team coming in. I know coaches always have high expectations for their programs coming into a season, but with where you are now compared to where you thought you would be at the beginning of the season, where in the middle does that meet for you? Is this where you expected to be back when the season tipped off?
Well, I think at a program like Oakland, you always expect, you know, I think we were always expected to be, you know, the top half of the league, and we always have been. So, you know, that is, I don't put a whole lot of credit into what people think or say, because we really don't know, especially in this day and age of the transfer portal and the, you know, rebuilding your team every year. So I thought we had a chance to be a pretty good team. We went to Italy. There were some cracks in our armor over there, some things that had me worried. You know, I still, to this day, I'm not sure how we won two championships without a true point guard. I just never seen that before in college basketball. You know, and that worried me the whole year. But even Coach Nagy, you know, we played them the second to last game of the year, and we had pretty much clinched at least a tie for the championship at that time, or it looked like we were going to. And he even said to me, "Well, it looks like you're going to do it without a point guard." And I just looked at her, yeah, I can't believe this. You know, I mean, so that was always a worry. But we had three things that we had to improve coming into this year for us to be able to make a run, and that was we had to get deeper. We had to rebound better, and we had to shoot it a little bit better on the perimeter, which is saying something because Oakland teams are usually known for three-point shooting, and we just hadn't been very good at it the last couple of years. So we knew that we had tried to take care of those three things, but until you play the games, you really don't know. But, you know, I felt we had a chance to be really good. Did I think we could win two championships? I don't know about that. I think that's really hard to do. So, I don't know. You know, I felt really good about the group of kids that I had. We're old, we're great kids, and, you know, they just had a magical season. So I'm really happy for them.
Coach, I got to fill in. I was calling games with Chris Collins for Wright State this year. I was filling in for Jim Brown, who was going through some back issues. And I tell you what, I mean, there's so much talent in this league, as you know. And, you know, I hold my breath a lot of times when certain players catch the basketball, and I'm like, oh, man, just don't let him shoot. I hated when Wright State played your team, because whether it was obviously Lampman or Golke, I think I was like getting lightheaded from holding my breath every time one of those two touched that basketball. You have a great inside-outside balance presence to your team. I know you talked about the lack of a point guard presence, but when you have a dominant post player, the Horizon League player of the year down low, whether it's Townsend or whether you have Conway down low, and then you have two dominant shooters on the outside, I mean, that's a fun team to be able to coach, I'm sure, because you have so much versatility there and really creating a lot of havoc and headaches for defenses.
Yeah, and I do. I think that's what, you know, enabled us to win the championship. I will say that, you know, the only other team in the league that really had that was Wright State. And then so there was such a small differential between the two of us, and you got to watch them play so much. But I think the differentiating fact this year was that we had the depth. You know, when you get nicks and bruises and you can substitute more, I just think that, you know, we went into this year knowing that the last couple of years we might have had as good a team as anybody in the league, but we got injured, and when we substituted, we went down. And so we made a concerted effort to try and get to, you know, 9 to 10 players. And I think that was the difference factor. When you look at this league, there were 5 teams that won 20 games.
Mm-hmm.
You had, you know, we're playing in the conference tournament, 1 versus 8, and the 8th seed had more wins than we did. They had 21 wins. We had 20. I mean, that was one of the scariest things I'd ever seen. You know, and then we win that game, we play the 7th seed, and they got 20 wins. Then we win that game, we play the 6th seed, and they got 20 wins. You know, it was just, this league was really brutal this year. I think that we had 2 teams at the bottom that, you know, really struggled, that if we get that fixed next year, then our league will be back up into the top, you know, 10 or 12 leagues in the country again once we fix the bottom of it. But, you know, there were 8 teams that were just unbelievable this year.
You know, every year when you talk to coaches, you know, they always say, oh, the league's really good this year. But I felt like this year that really was the case. I mean, you already touched on it. I mean, the 1 versus 8 and the fact that they had 20 wins, so many 20-plus win teams. I remember kind of as we were preparing for the tournament, I'm like, seeding matters, but it doesn't matter because there was no, oh, we'd rather play this team than this team. I mean, there wasn't a team that you were hoping or circling saying, I hope we get this team in the first round of the tournament or in the quarterfinals. I mean, the depth of the league, and I think that speaks a lot about the coaching. I think you're getting a lot of coaches who are getting settled in and have their program set, and they're getting their guys in there. And when you have long-tenured coaches in the league, it makes for a healthy conference, no doubt. Just talk about, you know, your coaching peers in the league, because there's so many good ones. Now that teams have been able to get settled in a bit, you're starting to see some of these programs take off and get comfortable and getting their guys settled in.
Yeah, 5 or 6 years ago, the league went through a redo and a reboot. And there was a point where I think I've been in the league 11 years, and I think there's been 27 or 28 coaching changes in that time. So the league went through a really rough time. But now, as you just said, you know, you got Calhoun, who is, you know, I mean, he's a up-and-coming superstar as a coach. He's now been in the league 7 or 8 years. He's taken Youngstown from, you know, a program that had, you know, just really had struggled over many, many years to a consistent 20-win program with they're filling their building. I mean, that guy, Jared, has done as good a coaching job as there is in the country, and I hope he gets recognized for it, because to do what he's done at Youngstown, and just not the wins and losses, but what he's done with the fan base, and that is, it's, man, you love it, but you hate it, because now, you know, now you got tougher competition. And of course, you got Coach Nagy, and he's just one of the best coaches there is. I mean, he's done it for many, many years. We've had battles for years, because when he was at South Dakota State, Oakland used to be in that league, and so I've had to go up against that. It gives me nightmares just trying to plan against him. He's just an unbelievable offensive coach, and just a coach altogether. And then Darren Horn at Northern Kentucky is, you know, John turned that program in from a, you know, they went through the transition like we did, but they've got a lot of resources, and you know, it's a great school if you've ever just been on their campus. And, you know, and then Darren is, you know, he's coached in the Power Five. He's, you know, he just, again, I'm just stacking these great coaches in our league. And, you know, I Bart and Sundance up in the, you know, in the wild, wild west up there, or the tundra, or whatever you want to call Wisconsin up there, they, you know, they've now turned their programs around. They've gotten 2 coaches that have pedigree of winning, and they've turned their programs around as quick as you can turn. I mean, Sundance in 1 year went from 4 wins to like 18 or 19 wins, and I think they were 18 or 19, and then, and you know, a 3 seed in the tournament. So Bart gets to the championship game in his second year. He's had 2 20-win seasons back-to-back. John Kaufman at Fort Wayne, another 20-win season. He was a coach of the year 2 years ago. I mean, I hope I didn't miss anybody, but you just won, you know, every game as you prepare, you're going up against an elite-level coach, and I think that's what makes our league, why it was so good this year. We just, like I said, we got fixed the bottom 2, and I think they're in the process of doing that, and I think within 2 to 3 years, it's going to be one of the top 12, 13 leagues in the country.
Right now we have Greg Campy with us, head coach for the Oakland Golden Grizzlies, Reach the Horizon, the official podcast of the Horizon League. Coach, you've been doing this for so long, and the thing that's interesting is, and you're one of the best coaches in the country. You don't need my approval, obviously, but just throwing that out there. But I am throwing this out there. You know, college sports, it's always about, oh, man, you build yourself a resume, and then you move up and you take bigger jobs, and you go and you just keep trying to climb that ladder. Obviously, you've been so loyal to Oakland for so long. What is it about that program that has never made you feel like, you know what, the grass isn't always greener elsewhere? There might be more money, there might be bigger opportunities, but this is where I belong. Talk about what this program means to you. I'm sure you've been asked this a million times, but you've been so loyal to this program, the longest tenured coach in college basketball. What is it about this program that has made you feel comfortable to say, you know what, I belong here. This is where I want to, you know, run my career through.
Very few people get to do what I've done. And, you know, it just kind of snowballs. I mean, you know, 5 years became 10, 10 became 20, 20 became 30. And then, you know, you're like, wow, I've really been here that long. I'm really this old. You know, I Oakland's a unique place. And a lot of the coaches that have been here and now they're starting, you know, to retire. Gary Parsons, our soccer coach, Pete Hovland, our swim coach. A lot of the coaches had done it with me. I mean, we had been kind of a family for many, many years. We all came in the 80s. We all, you know, it was a small little school at the time, a small department. We all had more jobs than just coaching our teams. You know, it became very family-like. You know, we were there for each other, and you just grew. And it's a tremendous place to live. My family grew up here. My three boys that I never could see taking them out of the schools or taking them out of their life here, because life was just so good. And we were able to win. You know, we were able to keep the winning going despite, you know, a lot of obstacles, despite, you know, going from 2-1, despite changing leagues. You know, we've just been able to keep it going, and we've been able to keep it going because it's such a special place. And, you know, I honestly can't say I made a concerted effort saying I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here. I'm staying. I've never really had that attitude or that. It just, you know, just time rolls along, and the next thing you know, you're at the twilight of it, and you're looking back saying, boy, I've been really lucky. It's more that Oakland let me stay than it is that I stayed. I mean, the fact that they, you know, most, if there's been 85,000 coaches, you know, across the country during my 40 years, probably 84,950 of them have been fired. And so the fact that I've been able to survive and keep the job was probably more impressive than the fact that I stayed.
Coach Rick Pitino was asked when he got the job at St. John's, to, you know, he was asked about the pressure he's facing heading into taking over that program. And he kind of like laughed and scoffed a little bit. He goes, pressure? He goes, there's no pressure here. Let me tell you, pressure. Pressure is coaching a mid-major basketball team where you could put in all this work for 3 months and it all comes down to, are you playing good basketball at the right time for 1 week in March? And he talked about that, you know, that's real pressure, having to win your conference tournament to get to the NCAA tournament, no matter how good of a November, December, January, February you've had. With that being said, you've punched your ticket to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2011. It's so special when a mid-major team punches their ticket there, because you don't know when the next time it's coming, and you've been here for so long, and there's been over a decade between tournament appearances. Talk about how special it is to get to the NCAA tournament, especially as a head coach of a mid-major program in the Horizon League.
Well, you kind of capsulized it all right there. I mean, it is, and what Pitino said is true. I mean, it's 21 conference championships. 21 schools that were conference regular season conference champions this year lost in their tournaments. 21 of the 30, what, two leagues? So, I mean, that's 67% or some number like that. It is so hard to win both. And what he said is exactly right. It's a tremendous amount of pressure, but it's more on the kids because, you know, the NCAA tournament is one of the top three sporting events in the world. You've got the World Cup, you've got the Super Bowl, and you've got the NCAA basketball tournament. And every kid wants that. They want it badly. It's the holy grail, especially the mid-major level, man. It's not that we're going to go there and win the whole tournament. It's just that you're in it, you're part of it. We're playing Kentucky on national TV, primetime game. That this is the greatest thing for these kids. It's their goal. And so the amount of pressure that puts, you see some of the stupidest plays in March. You know, we saw a player foul the other night for mm-hmm. a team that was ahead. And, you know, I mean, just the pressure is so big. And that's what makes this so great. That's what makes the drama of the tournament, the why people watch, why they're glued to their seats to watch this tournament, because of that. And you know, that's the life we live. I mean, as he said it, that's where all the pressure is. But I've lived that life for, you know, the last 24, 5 years that we've been in Division One. And I don't know if I'd change it for much. I mean, you can bitch and complain about it at times, but the truth of the matter is when you do win it like we did this year, it's ecstasy. I mean, I don't get that emotional as I did on Tuesday night very often. But, you know, I kind of stood at the back of the stage and watched the confetti come down on my kids and just saw the joy in their eyes, and they're hugging each other and the love for each other. I mean, it's just, you know, it was just, this is why we do this. You know, this is, it's unbelievable. It's been 11 years, 12 years, sure, but boy, it was worth it.
Coach Trey Townsend, special player, special story. I mean, just talk about him, a Horizon League Player of the Year. Player of the Year or not, take the award. I mean, winning the award's fantastic, but he didn't need the award to solidify what he means to you in that program. Just talk about, you know, his journey and his story. You know, I've been following along, seeing the picture of him holding up the sign at the game when he was a kid. I think that's really cool. And then to be celebrating a championship with you and heading to the NCAA tournament, just talk about his story and what he means to you in the program.
Well, the best, I got a million texts, obviously, but the best one I got was a couple of days after the tournament, and it came from Bart Lundy. And, you know, it was that picture that you're just talking about, Trey holding up my, you know, cardboard cutout when Trey was like 5 or 6 years old. And under it, the caption of the text was, "I can't believe I just got beat by these two guys." And, you know, it made me laugh, and it was just, you know, the story of Trey Townsend is just, I mean, it doesn't happen. You know, it's a Hollywood script type story. You just don't believe that it would happen. But, you know, his dad and mom both played at Oakland. His dad played for me. We helped him get a job at Cadillac, you know, the car industry here in the Detroit area. So he stayed here in the area, got married, had all these kids. And Trey and his brother, who plays soccer at Oakland, you know, came to my basketball camp from the time they could shoot a basketball. And so Nicole, his mother, is my dentist. I mean, it's just crazy that this little kid grew up to be, you know, the player of the year in the Horizon League. And he's just not the player of the year basketball-wise. I mean, he is a player of the year candidate as a person and as a kid and as a student. I mean, he's well above a three-point. He's just quiet. If this were a movie, nobody would believe it. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And then to put us on his back the way he did the last 5 minutes of that game to get us to the tournament in his senior year was, I mean, it like I said, it's a Hollywood script, and I'm glad I was part of it.
Coach, last thing, next up, Kentucky, NCAA tournament Thursday night, 7:10, the scheduled tip-off time, 14 versus the 3. I always ask coaches this, especially, you know, when in your situation, you're a 14 seed going up against a 3. You're not supposed to win, right? Like, that's what all the prognosticators say. Everyone filling out their brackets, it's easy just to push the 14 through. I'm always fascinated how coaches handle, you know, the approach to this for getting a team ready to play, because that's not your mindset. That's not the player's mindset. How do you balance getting your team prepared to play a team like Kentucky when you have all the outside noise, everyone out there pushing Kentucky through in their bracket? You know, how do you handle that as a coach and preparing your team, a 14 seed, to go up against a 3 with, hey, you know, technically we're not supposed to win this, but we're going in, we're going to give it everything we have. I mean, you guys pushed Ohio State to the brink this year. You guys beat Xavier. You know, you made Illinois work for it, one of the top teams in the country. Of course, a Drake, a tournament team. You lost by 8 against them. You've proven you could compete with the top teams in the country. What's your approach to getting this team prepared to play Kentucky on Thursday night?
Yeah, I think the approach was our non-league schedule. You know, we played at Ohio State, at Illinois, at Michigan State, at Dayton, at Xavier. We've played the schedule that would prepare us for this. So we're not going to see anything that we're not used to seeing. Mm-hmm. And then we're playing with house money. You know, our kids got to cut the nets down. They got to stand on the stage and have the confetti come down on top of them. You know, the pressure is off them. They got to the Holy Grail. I mean, they're in the tournament. Now it's let's go extend this. You know, let's go. This is unbelievable. Everybody around this place is telling them how great they are for the last week. Let's make it 2 weeks. You know, let's get to a Sweet 16. Let's be that team that everybody's talking about. And to do that, this is what we got to do. Bam, bam, bam. And, you know, we'll put a scouting report together. you know, we talked to him about believing in the report. We talked to him about how they've prepped for games all year, and you know, the grind of 30. We've played 34 times. You know, you've grinded through those 34 games. Now let's grind through this 35th one, and let's, you know, have our A game, play the best game of the year, and you know, see what happens, because we're good enough to win. They believe they are. We know we are. We've proven that through the course of the year. Teams just don't go into the Cintas Center and win games, you know, and we did. And teams don't go to Illinois and take them down to the wire, and we did. So we're on a neutral court. And if we can get it into the last few minutes, all the pressure is going to be on Kentucky, not on us. So that's the route we're going. And I like this team. I love these kids. I think we have a real chance.
Well, Coach, I'm not just, you know, doing kiss-ass stuff here. I promise you, when I'm filling out my bracket, I have already put Oakland over Kentucky. That's one of my big upsets in the first round. So that's not a kiss-ass statement. It's in ink. I'll screenshot it and send it to you. So there you go. You have one bracket right there. I promise you that much. I have the confidence in you guys. I've seen you guys up close and personal. You have the size. You have the shooting. You have the coaching, obviously. I'm a big fan, and I'm looking forward to seeing you guys on Thursday night.
Thank you so much. And, you know, I hope that on Friday morning you're showing that bracket to everybody saying, see?
Told you so. I don't get to do that often. I'm hoping the same thing. Coach Campy, head coach of the Oakland Golden Grizzlies, awesome enough to give us some time ahead of their NCAA tournament game on Thursday night against Kentucky. Coach, you're the best. Thank you for your time and best of luck this week.
Okay. Thank you for having Oakland on this. And let's go do something special.